The gospel is the good news, but it is front-loaded with bad news. But I do like those good news, bad news stories where the next bit of news trumps the previous bit. For instance, good news. I got £1 million bonus. The bad news is that the tax man took almost half. The good news was that I still had lots of money. The bad news is that a thief stole it. The good news is that the police caught the thief. The bad news is that he spent all my money. The good news is that he's promised to pay me back everything. The bad news is that he can only pay back £1 a week. And so on. And when it comes to people, as you look round, do you expect the best of them? Perhaps it depends on who they are and what you know about them, their history. But don't we basically think most people are good, with a few exceptions? After all, we're all made in the image of God, and God is good and loving and holy, and there's still some of that within us. But this passage from Romans says something quite different. If you could open your Bibles back up at Romans 3, verses 9 to 20, it's on page 1130. Just look at verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Not even one. Not Gentiles, and not even Jews. The sacrificial system might have covered their sin, but it didn't make them righteous. There aren't even a few good people, and this passage is very clear. Everyone is included. Everyone is bad. Everyone has turned away from God. Verse 12. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Well, there was one, that was my dad. He told me that he never did anything wrong. But I'm afraid he was wrong. Perhaps then, as the Lord is a loving God who knows we can't really help ourselves and we're trying our best, it won't matter. Might it be possible that if we do enough good things, that will overcome the bad things? That seems reasonable, doesn't it? And I think a lot of people think that. It would mean that God could overlook and excuse our few, possibly insignificant failures. God, after all, is a God of love. Won't he let us all into heaven? But no, our failure is against the law. And even if it is to a small extent, it means we break the whole of the law. It's not a small fail, but a complete fail. And people have described this as total depravity, being dead in trespasses and sin. It covers all people and all actions. All our actions lead to destruction. Look at verses 15 and 16. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. Or verses 13 and 14. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Open graves, poison, cursing, bitterness, ruin and misery. With no peace. Bad news indeed. It's unrelieved. And the Bible describes God's attitude to our sin as wrath. He cannot and will not ignore or overlook our sins. And that separates us from God. God is holy and pure, and we are not. Those two things cannot mix. And then if you look at verse 20, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. What the law does is to make us aware of our sin. And so should our consciences. It's a slam dunk. We're all guilty, and there is no escape for any one of us. We cannot buy or behave our way out of this. As you've seen from the preaching programme, this is the passage that was set for me to preach on, verses 9 to 20. It's pretty unrelieved bad news. But the good news is that I'm going to carry on, verses 21 to 26. So I'd like to read that out to you. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So there is good news as well as the bad news. And we have these famous verses from Romans that tell us how we can be right with God. Not by his forbearance, not by excusing us or overlooking our wrongdoings, but a righteous way of making it possible for us to be right with God through the death of Jesus. It's in accordance with the law and the prophets, it says in verse 21. As God had said it would be. It's through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus died. To deal with the problem of our sin. With all that bad news. To bring good news. To take our sin and wrongdoing on himself. So that we can take on his righteousness. So we have that great verse, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, followed by verse 24, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So that instead of being separated from God, we can be at one with him through Jesus' sacrifice. The once-for-all sacrifice that now covers all who turn to God for forgiveness. In the book of Hebrews, it reminds us that there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. This is why he died. And what turns the bad news into good news. God doesn't deal with us as we deserve, but according to his loving kindness, by putting the punishment that we deserve on Jesus as a matter of grace. And just look at some of the great theological words that we have here. In verse 24, there's justification and redemption. Verse 25, atonement. And all these things that Jesus does for us, which is why he died. Now we have to take up this offer for ourselves so that we're not left separated from God. We must turn to God for forgiveness and accept Jesus as our Saviour. If we don't, then we will forever be separated from him. this righteousness is only given through faith in Jesus Christ. It should be our aim to tell others of this. And we know that despite this church being here and for around 25 years of faithful preaching, the majority of Moreton and the surrounding area haven't heard the good news. So what can we do to make that good news heard and known by those around us?